Philippians chapter 2. We've been having a great time looking at Philippians. Amazing book written by a man named Paul, locked up in a Roman prison, and yet the theme of the book is joy. This guy, it's amazing. Horrible circumstances that he's facing, and yet he is enjoying the rest of his life. And so we're trying to just kind of walk through this book and pick up some secrets on how can we enjoy the rest of our lives. Several years ago on my birthday, I got a card. I've always loved it. Maybe some of you have seen it. On the outside cover of the birthday card is a little cartoon character of a man. He's standing in the middle of a field. You seen this one? And you open it up and it says, "Happy birthday to someone outstanding in the field." Yeah, I thought a lot about that card. Am I really outstanding in the field? What difference am I making in my field, in my little corner of the world? What difference are you making in your corner of the world? Are you just standing out in the field? Or are you making an outstanding difference in the world in which you live? I've really been watching people. I guess I am a people watcher, and I like to observe people. And there's a paradox that I have discovered. Maybe you've seen the same thing. I've observed that the people in this world that seem to be enjoying the rest of their life are the same people who are making a difference in the world. Have you ever noticed that? The folks who are enjoying life are very involved in life. The happy people are people who are living on purpose. You know, they wake up in the morning and they have a direction. They have meaning and purpose and value in their lives. It's the people who have checked out and retired from life that are the most unhappy people that I've ever met. I'm really believing that there's a connection between making a difference in the world and enjoying the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, I've come to the conclusion that we will not be able to enjoy the rest of our life if we're not making a difference, a significant difference, and living for something bigger than ourselves. Because that's what brings joy and meaning and purpose into our lives. Do you want to enjoy the rest of your life? Well, you got to just quit standing out in the field taking up space. If you really want to enjoy the rest of your life, you need to start making an outstanding difference for God in the world in which you live. Now, in our study today, the Apostle Paul is going to teach us the next step in enjoying the rest of our life. You know what it is? Make a difference. You want to enjoy the rest of your life? Make a difference. But you know me, I'm always the guy in the room who raises my hand and says, "Okay, but tell me how." The Apostle Paul answers my question today. Here's how you and I can make a genuine, lasting impact and a difference in the world in which we live. Are you ready? Number one, if you want to make a difference in the world, you need to work out your salvation. You need to work out your salvation. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Page 1827, Philippians 2, verse 12. Listen to this. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Now, wait a minute. Work out your salvation? Does this sound like a contradiction to the Apostle Paul himself? Come on, Paul, are you schizophrenic here? Isn't the Apostle Paul the guy who says we're saved by grace? We're not saved by works. And now he turns right around and he says, work out your salvation. Is he contradicting his great theology and his doctrine of salvation by grace? Not. Absolutely not. He's not contradicting himself at all. As a matter of fact, when you look at verse 13, you can see real quickly who is doing the work. For it is who? You? No. It's God who works in you. So Paul isn't contradicting himself. Well, what does he mean then when he says work out your salvation? Here it is. When Paul says work out your salvation, he simply means make sure that your salvation is working itself out into every part of your life. Did you get that? Make sure that the salvation that God has planted in you is working itself out into every aspect of your life. For example, let's say for example you're going to paint your house. And so you go down to the paint store and you pull out all those little cards and you pick a blue, a really bright blue that you want to paint your house. So you go up to the lady at the counter and say, I want to paint my house this color. What does she do? Does she go to the shelf and pull out that can of blue paint? No. She goes and gets a bucket of white paint. You've been there, haven't you? Puts it under the little spout and then types in these little numbers and out squirts the perfect amount of blue tint. And it squirts right in the middle of the can. Then she puts that lid back on, nails it back, hammers it on, and puts it in that thing. It's unbelievable shape. I got to quit doing that. I'm too old to do these illustrations. Going to throw something out. And so what happens? That thing just shakes and shakes and shakes. What's happening to the blue tint? It's working itself out until it gets every corner of that paint. So when they open the paint, it's blue. Some of you are kind of looking at me like, I don't get that. Okay, let me relate to the rest of you who like to eat. How many of you love vanilla ice cream with Hershey syrup on top? You like that, don't you? Now, those of you who eat, you know there are two kinds of people who eat Hershey syrup on vanilla ice cream. Amateurs and professionals. The way an amateur eats ice cream like that, he puts the syrup on there and he gets his spoon and he starts eating. The professional puts the syrup on and then knows exactly the right tension to put on the spoon as he mashes the syrup in. And he keeps mashing until the ice cream gets the exact consistency that allows him to then rotate the spoon and he begins to stir. And a real professional is able to stir that ice cream until the syrup works itself out and touches every white part of the ice cream. And the test of a true professional is there are no lumps when you start to eat. Now, what have we done with the paint and with the Hershey syrup? We've allowed it to come in and then work itself out. That's all Paul is saying. You want to make a difference in the world? You've got to let the salvation that God has planted in you work itself out to make a difference in the way you live. So here's my question. Are you working your salvation out into your life? Is it affecting the way you treat your spouse? Is it affecting the way you treat your kids, your boss, your employees, your next door neighbors? Is it affecting, oh my goodness, should I mention this one? Your recreation. Is your attitude different on the golf course or tennis course now than it used to be? You're saying, oh man, you mean I have to take my salvation when I go golfing? Yeah. Every part of your life has to be touched and affected by the faith, the transforming grace that God has planted in your heart. Has it affected your finances, your morals, your ethics? Has it affected your mouth? Are you able to control your temper and your language now? Some of you are saying, I'm not quite there yet. Well, by the grace of God, just keep stirring and keep working the salvation of God, that transforming grace, out into that area. You know, I've told some of you, matter of fact, I talked about this at noon study this week over at Kwan Den. It took me a couple of years when I was a teenager. I had a horrible, horrible mouth. You know, we're taping this. Don't send this to my mother. Don't send this tape to my mother, okay? But when I was a teenager, I had a horrible mouth. I mean, I could cuss. I could out-cuss a sailor. And when I gave my life to Christ, He transformed me. And about 2 years later, He finally got my mouth. It took that long. But by the grace of God, He began to work and work and work. And all of a sudden, I learned that I had control of my tongue. That's what it means to work out your salvation. That's the goal of salvation. It's like, it's to get it off the chalkboard and onto the playing field. That's what Paul is saying. So, if you want to enjoy the rest of your life by making a difference in the world, you must first work out your salvation. Number two, you must shine out. You must shine out like stars. Look at verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, here it is, in which you shine like stars in the universe. I can't remember where I was, but I will never forget what happened. We were traveling someplace and we stopped for a pit stop, and I went into the restroom of this convenience store, wherever we were. And sure enough, on the bathroom walls, just like any public restroom, was graffiti. Horrible, vulgar, ugly words. I don't know if you ladies have it in your bathrooms, but man, it's bad in the guys. And on this particular one, I mean, the walls were just coated with filthy language, horrible words. And right in the middle of this, somebody had taken a red magic marker and put, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I'll have to be honest. When I first saw that, it was just a little offensive to me. You know, I mean, Jesus, right there in the middle of all that filth. But the more I looked at that and the more I thought about it, it dawned on me that this is really a parable of what happened in history. That Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, came into a dirty, horrible, sinful, lost world. And that really is where His name belongs. Right in the midst of sinful people. And then it dawned on me that this is what God is challenging every one of us to do. That we are to enter, what did Paul call it here? A crooked and depraved generation. And what are we supposed to do when we enter into this sinful world in which we live? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to blend in? Are we supposed to become like a chameleon and change our colors to fit the circumstances? Now, what does he say? In the midst of this depraved and crooked generation, Paul says, you are to shine like a star. All right, how you doing? Are you shining out? Or are you blending in? Paul says, shine out. God has placed you here to shine out. By the way, according to Paul, how are we to shine? Two ways. Number one, in your attitude. In your attitude. Did you see verse 14? How many of you have marked that out of your Bible because you don't like it? Do everything without complaining and arguing. Can you imagine if you did that? The hours that would be freed up in your life. Some of you would have like full days if you didn't have any complaining to do. And notice he doesn't say do some things, do most things. He says do everything without complaining or arguing. That will revolutionize your life. What's he saying? We need to be able to do everything without complaining and arguing, because that's the positive attitude that we're going to shine out in a dark world. Because if you notice, people in the world, they got a negative attitude. And they should. There's just not a lot of good stuff out there. Not a lot of hope. Not a lot of optimism. You guys remember the story of the priest who went to this monastery, and he took a very serious vow of silence. I'm talking serious. This vow of silence said you could not say anything for 10 years, and after 10 years you were allowed to speak two words. Well, the guy checked into this monastery, and he went 10 years, and his superior called him in. He says, you're now entitled to say two words. And the guy said, bad food. He went 10 more years. He came in. The superior says, you are entitled to two more words. What are they? He said, hard bed. 10 more years went by, and he came into the superior. And the superior says, you've earned two more words. What are your two words now? The guy says, I quit. His superior says, well, it doesn't surprise me. You've done nothing but complain for 30 years. How many of you complain? You know, Are you a complainer? How many of you argue? Just love to argue. Quit it. Paul says, don't do this. Instead, have a positive attitude. So the first place we're going to shine is in our attitude. The second place is in our behavior. Did you see those words? Behavior words? Blameless. Pure. Without fault. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but people are watching you. And if you wear the name Christian, people are getting their definition of Christian from the way you live. And if your behavior is not shining out in a way different from the world, then the world will never get the message of Jesus Christ. It's in our attitude and our behavior that we give validity to our faith. It's our attitude and our behavior that literally authenticates that we're children of God. Isn't that what he says? Verse 15. Why should we do this? So that you may become blameless and pure children of God. How's the world going to know you're different? How's the world going to know you're a child of God? It's when you have a positive attitude, you're not griping and complaining and arguing, and you're living a godly life. You do that, and you will make a difference in the world. You ever stepped out on a dark night and seen the Milky Way stretching across the sky? That's what we are to be in the body of Christ. We're to be like a Milky Way, lighting the way to God. So people can see our lives and it points them toward Jesus Christ. If you want to enjoy the rest of your life by making a difference in the world, you've got to shine out. So you've got to work out your salvation. You have to shine out like stars. Number three, you need to hold out the Word of life. Where do we leave off? Verse 16. Shine like stars. As you hold out the Word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor in vain. What's Paul saying here? Very important that we catch this connection. Did you notice Paul did not just say, shine out? He also said, hold out the Word of life. You see, shining out is not enough. Have you ever said that? Well, I'm not going to share my faith with anybody. I'm just going to live the Christian life. Hey, it's great to live the Christian life, but that's not enough. He says not only do you need to shine out with your behavior, but it needs to be followed by what? Words. What kind of words? Words of life. That we hold out the words of life. If we don't hold out the words of life, we just become an uninterpreted parable to the world. They look at us, they see something different, but they scratch their head and they say, I wonder what's different. Well, if we don't tell them, they'll never know. It's very important that we hold out the Word of life. I thought of 1 Peter 3:15. Remember what Peter says? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do you have hope? Somebody notices that? So how come you have so much hope in a hopeless world? Be ready to give an answer, a verbal answer. Say, I'll tell you the reason I have hope, that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'll tell you why I have hope, that when the bottom of my life falls out, Jesus Christ is always there to hold me up. So give an answer to explain the hope that you have in your life. Learn to share the good news. Anybody here glad that somebody shared the good news with them? Oh man, I'm so glad someone took the time to share the good news of Jesus Christ with me. How about you? Are you glad? Return the favor. You turn now and share it with someone else. Share the words that bring life, the good news of Jesus Christ. If you want to enjoy the rest of your life by making a difference in the world, you need to hold out. All right, we've worked out our salvation. We're shining out like stars. We're holding out the Word of life. Is there anything left? One more. We need to pour out. Pour out your life in service. Look at verse 17. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. See, I told you this guy's enjoying his life. Man, he just rejoices about everything. Making a difference in your world will cost you. What's it going to cost? Your life. You want to make a difference for Jesus Christ? It costs you your whole life. You just give your life to Him. Now, I'll tell you the good news. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you'll find it. If you try to hold on to your life and hoard it selfishly, Jesus says you'll lose it. Because it's only in giving that we receive. Paul says, listen, become like a drink offering. And in the temple, they had drink offerings, and they would take pitchers and bowls of water, and they would pour them on the altars, things like that. And Paul uses that imagery and says, that's what your life needs to be like. That you literally pour out your life in service to God. You pour out your life in serving your spouse and your children and your parents. You pour out your life in serving people because that's how you find meaning and value in life. You know, I love Paul. He's a great guy. I like him for a lot of reasons. And one reason is, a lot of the times he doesn't just tell you, here's what you're supposed to do, pour your life out, but he gives you a real example. In the verses following, he gives two real live examples of two men who had poured their lives out for Jesus Christ. I just want to read it, and you listen as Paul describes these men. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy, there's the first one, to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with a father, he has what? Served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Now the second guy is named Epaphroditus. You know, Joe, it's too bad you've already named him Nathan. Wouldn't Epaphroditus be a great name? Bonnie, what do you think? Huh? Next kid, Epaphroditus. Verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now listen to him describe him now.
This is the end of side A. Stop the tape at this point and turn the cassette over to hear side B.
For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Isn't that amazing? This guy's sick and he's worried about other people who are worried about him. And that doesn't describe me when I'm sick. And when I'm sick, I want you to be worried about me. Look what he says, verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Look at this. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. What's Paul saying? You want two examples of guys who poured their life out? Here they are. Look at Timothy. Gave his life, gives his life every day, pours it out in service. You need an example of Epaphroditus. This guy risked his life, almost died serving Christ. You want to find meaning and purpose and value in your life? It will come not by hoarding, but by giving and pouring your life out. Well, whoa, Paul, what a message. What a message if you want to make a difference in your life. I read a fascinating story some years back about a B-17 during the Second World War was doing bombing runs over Nazi Germany and was hit with anti-aircraft fire. Miraculously, though, the plane did not explode, didn't even catch on fire. The plane made it back safely to the base. Well, the next day, the pilot got out of bed and he says, you know, that was a miracle that we didn't go down after being hit. And he said, I'm going to go down and I'm going to see if the guys can dig out the shell and I'm going to keep it as a good luck charm. Well, he went down and the guy said, listen, you're not going to believe what happened. You got hit with 20 millimeter shells. You didn't get hit with one, you got hit with 11. And you didn't just get hit, all 11 hit the fuel tank. And the pilot says, there's no way. Why did we explode? The guy said, let me tell you the rest of the story. He said, we dug those shells out and we sent them down to be disarmed. When the guys opened up the shells, there was no explosive. All 11 were empty. He said, well, except for one. Inside one of the shells, when they opened it, was a small note written on a piece of paper rolled up in a tight roll. He said, when we unrolled it, it had one sentence. This is all we can do for now. Apparently, some of the good guys have gotten in to the armory, taken the explosives out of these shells, not knowing if it would make any difference at all. But if you're the pilot of that B-17, it made all the difference in the world. And you know, sometimes in our lives we think, what difference can I make? I'm just one person. Can one person really make a difference in the world? Absolutely. Absolutely. One person can make a difference in the world. One person made a difference for that B-17 pilot and his crew. And you can make a difference in the world. And it will happen. It will happen when you start working out your salvation, shining out like stars, holding out the word of life, and pouring your life out in service to others. I guarantee you, friend, if you will start making a difference for God like this, the most amazing thing will happen. You will start enjoying the rest of your life. Let's pray. Father, You're a good God and You guide us well. You want us to have meaning in our lives and fulfillment in our lives. Thank You, Lord, that today from Your Word we've seen how it happens. And I pray, Lord, now for every person here that the salvation that You have given would be worked out to touch every part of their life. That in the midst of a very dark and cruel and painful world, we will shine like stars of good news with positive behavior and godly, with positive attitudes and godly behavior. I pray, Lord, that we would hold out the word of life, that we would be willing to share and give an answer for the hope that we have within us. And Lord, that every day we would get up and we would ask, Lord, who can I serve today? How can I pour my life out to meet the needs of other people? Lord, fill us with Your Spirit so this can happen in us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.